Digging into the finances of going to college, even for scholarship athletes. This is the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 108. Hello, I'm John Fugler, your host of the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I'm an author, speaker, a father of two scholarship athletes, and of course, a podcaster as well. And in this episode, we're going to hear from somebody who can help us navigate the financial road. Yeah, you think, well, we got the scholarship, that's all taken care of, but not quite. Our guest today, I'll introduce him in a moment, has a lot to say and a lot of experience with this. So hang on for that. But before we get there, I want to make sure that you've got my freebie on my website, the Recruiting Power Pack. Three things, three resources, all packed into one. That's why it's called the Recruiting Power Pack. Go ahead and download it. It's instant at recruitme.com, recruit-me.com. Something else that's free that I've mentioned is the audiobook of the Athletic Scholarship Playbook. Audible is offering that. If you just sign up for a 30-day trial, you can cancel it after 30 days, then you get a free book and you can choose the Athletic Scholarship Playbook. Great time of year as you get into the fall season. Maybe you're just getting started and you're really having those conversations as a family about athletic scholarships. If you go ahead and get into this book, listen to it together, then you can learn together and move forward. The best way to get that is through my show notes on the podcast. I have a special link for you so you get the free 30 days with Audible and get the free book. Or you can go to my website on the resources page at recruitme.com. I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm going to introduce to you Jim Cook. Jim is a dad. He is also a former high school coach. He knows a lot about the finances of getting into college, and he helps a lot of parents and has over the years in this whole area. So, hey, Jim, welcome aboard the Athletic Scholarship Podcast.
Glad to be here.
Now, you hail from Kansas, right?
Right. I'm in Kansas City, so we're right on the border of Kansas and Missouri. So kids that go to our school can really jump to colleges in either state pretty fluidly.
Fantastic. And tell me, how long did you coach high school football? I know that you've retired from that just recently.
Right. I started in 1999, so I think it was 15 years or so.
I got to tell you, it's a little bit unusual for a high school coach to work with families to help the kids get recruited. So hats off to you. I guess you must enjoy it.
Yeah, I really do. It comes like a lot of things in life. It came from failure. I have a son who's he's a football player in 2003, and his senior year in December, he decided, I want to play college football, and I had no idea how to help him. And So we kind of flailed around, and we're able to find a place for him, but I just started the process of what does this thing look like, and how could it be done a little bit better?
Man, you scrambled. And so how did it all turn out for him? I mean, that's late.
Yeah, that was really late. Fortunately, I have found this to be true sometimes, is that he had a friend who had been recruited by a college, and he was going to the school. My son liked that school, and his friend said, hey, I got a buddy who's really good. Can he walk on? And so it was a D2 school, and he ended up walking on. Great. So that's how he made it.
That's fantastic. And how about, you've got other boys too, right?
Yeah, I have. We have seven kids, four boys.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah, they all played football. They all could have played college football, but two of them did. And the last one, I was at my peak of intelligence, and he had four college scholarship offers, and he actually decided not to play. But at least I was a little bit better about going through it.
Hey, you became better at this as a result.
Right.
Oh, gosh. And how about the girls? Are they athletes?
They were not athletes, and so they were not that interested. So
now you've worked with a lot of parents over the years, besides your kids too, working with them, and a lot of athletes. I'm going to put you on the spot here. What comes to mind with the one thing that parents are surprised about regarding athletic scholarships? I mean, what is the biggest shocker for parents?
I guess I would have to say cost. Although, you know, we try to warn them, you know, especially for, you know, we're a small Christian school and, you know, none of our kids are D1 or even D2 most of the time. And so they're going to NAIA or D3 schools. And just the price is just like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. So that's probably the biggest shock. And then I think a close second is how much difference a high ACT score works in the athlete's favor. And a lot of times, and my kids included, ACT was a painful process to try to get them to do. But those families that I've helped that had kids that had high ACT scores, the scholarships just made a huge difference.
I want to dig into this financial end of it here, because you talk about, oh, the cost of college, even with a scholarship, there are things you have to pay, even if you have a scholarship. And most athletes don't get full rides. But maybe a couple stories of athletes that you've worked with that illustrate this. Let's bring this to life. Move from theory to actual life.
Okay. You know, I think one of the things that I've learned is how you have to be a student of the financial game, for lack of a better word. And the kids that I've talked with, we've had probably 40 or 50 kids play college athletics in different sports over the years. And the ones that got out with minimal student debt just were just experts at negotiating the financial aid offices at their college. One gal that I talked with recently, she played soccer at a small college, and she just constantly asked her coach, her financial aid office, and it reminded them, I really can't afford to go here. What kind of scholarships are available? And this is not only when she was a freshman, but when she was a junior and senior. And, you know, so she's a, you know, one of the things that she found out was her college would match any church scholarship that that came her way. So like if her, I think her church gave her a $500 and the school matched it. And I told her, I said, well, I've never heard of that. How did you find out about it? She said, I ask a lot of questions. And so, you know, who knows, maybe there's other colleges that do that, but, you know, you have to ask about it. So,
well, there are some specific scholarships out there that are available and often unclaimed. I mean, the money is just sitting there. And it's unclaimed. Other things that you hear about besides that?
Oh, yes. Another kind of unique one was we had a kid that played in a school just north of here, and he worked, he just a really entrepreneurial kid. He worked at UPS, the freight company, and they had a scholarship for people that worked at UPS that were attending that college of $2,500. And, if, you know, as long as you work for them, they'll, you know, give you an offer. That was even actually outside of the college. So that was a unique one. I think another one that we had a kid do that we've had several kids do is military scholarships. We had a kid who served in Afghanistan. He joined the Marines, and basically they paid for his college. He would play football in the fall, and he'd do Marine reserves in the spring.
Really?
He ended up getting out in 5 years, served a couple of tours, and was able to get a scholarship that way. So that was another one.
Well, you know, the whole idea of the cost of college, and it keeps going up, and parents are really the ones that accumulate the debt. The students do, I guess, in some cases, in a lot of cases, but the family is saddled with a lot of debt. Any idea on what the debt load is for families after college? What are they accumulating these days?
One of my I've done a little bit of research on this. I'm a kind of a Dave Ramsey guy, and just recently finished their course on student loans. And the average student loan after college is $43,000. That's just the average. So it's a bunch. I mean, that's, you know, two or three car payments. So I think, you know, students, well, actually, I think parents need to be aware of this kind of going into it, because the kids just aren't, you know, they want to play sports. They don't, you know, here, sign this paper. You know, they don't really think about, you know, what's going to happen. What does $40,000 in debt look like when I'm done? They don't think about that. So a parent, you know, really has to be wary and let the kid know, okay, let's figure out, son, what's the payment on $43,000? And, you know, that's a lot of money. You're going to have to pay that over the next 10 years. So, you know.
Sure, sure. And parents, just keep in mind that most scholarships, except for, say, D1 football and basketball, like there are two or three others, those are full rides. But in most cases, you're going to have to pay something. And right. It would be nice not to have to go to the bank or, you know, the college loan services and take out loans. But that's the norm these days. You talk about $43,000 as an average. As you've met with families and you're giving them advice, what are some of the stories that you hear that they come to you with?
Well, I think, you know, the first year is always the most expensive. You know, no matter what college you go to, unless you get a full ride, the first year is the most expensive because as you get more playing time, they find more money for you. And so the first year is, you know, it's just going to be rough. And so, you know, I tell people, you know, plan on if you have to take some loans and you really want to play, you know, that's the toughest year. And then after the first year, you know, that's actually athletically the most difficult year. The kid decides, you know, maybe college basketball is not for me or college baseball is not for me. And then you're done. And either you stay at that school or you go to a different school. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing that I tell parents is one of the most expensive things in college is housing. And so if you can get off campus, you know, you can save yourself a lot of times $10,000 just because, you know, you're doing your own meals. You know, the rent is cheaper and that kind of thing. So, you know, to stay on campus is usually, I don't know, it's 30 to 40% of the cost. And so if you can find an alternative, you know, live in a little less nicer place or, you know, close to campus or something like that, that can be a way to save some money.
Hmm. So, Jim, I come to you with my son and we're looking, he's a junior, let's say. And I come to you and I say, Jim, you've worked with a lot of athletes here at school and you're helping the families and I've heard good things. I'm really not, you know, I'm working it on the scholarship side, but I kind of have this feeling I'm going to have to pay some money. Walk me through the process. What can I do right now?
Well, one of the things that I tell parents, and this is maybe a little negative, is I tell people if your son or daughter wants to play college athletics, try to talk them out of it.
Really?
Because it's really difficult. It, you know, you've had fun in high school, and if you, the parent, can talk them out of it, then they're probably not college athletic material anyway, because you have to put up, especially that first year, you have to put up with a lot. You know, you're 18, 19, you're competing against 23-year-olds athletically, and, you know, your chances of getting playing time are difficult. So that first year is going to be rough, and if you really don't want to or you're kind of on the fence, then you know you should probably just go get a degree. But if you really want to, then you need to put in some work. And I think the other thing that I tell people is that you're not, and I'll just tell them, you're not a D1 candidate. I'm sorry to say, you're not getting a full ride. So if that's the case, then you need to go do the work and find the college that you want to go to. And you need to start calling coaches, sending out emails, all the things that recruitme.com tells you to do. And in that way, you're in the driver's seat, as opposed to what a lot of families think might happen is somebody's going to start calling me, and Notre Dame's going to call me, and the, you know, UCLA is going to call me. Well, that's not going to happen. But you can call these. You know, in Kansas and Missouri, we have close to 50 different schools that you can choose from. They don't know about you, but you can let them know about you and then start finding the right place for you.
Well, I totally agree with that. And that's, as you mentioned, that's the foundation of the way I work at Recruit Me for families to take the initiative. And that's so true. It gives you choices. So you aren't stuck at the end with maybe one or two options that are too expensive. You get into it earlier and you're looking not only at the athletic piece of it, but also the financial piece. I like what you said at the beginning. I think it was become a student of the financial end of things.
Right.
Really become an expert at that. How can a family do that?
Yeah. Get a list. John can show you, or I can, I tell people, here's the list of colleges, find out what their majors are. This is kind of an interesting, girls typically know what they want to major in. They have some sort of, they're playing sports on the side and they want to major in business or psychology, whatever. Guys, for the most part, really don't have a clue. They just want to play baseball. They just want to play football. And what's your major? I don't know. So you do need to explore that and find out, what's your field of study? What do you want to do other than your sport when you get out of college? So that's kind of helpful. I think the other thing for parents that I tell them is when you contact these coaches, first of all, they don't want to hear from you, the parent. They want to hear from your child, and they want to, and your son, and that's maybe difficult for an 18-year-old or 19-year-old to do, is to be articulate and say, hey, I'm interested in your school. Here's the position. Tell me about your program. It needs to come from the student. And, the parent, maybe is behind, that, kind of giving them a little bit of information, but they really don't want to hear from the parents directly.
Now, on the financial side, some of the other options, looking for those special scholarships, what are some other ways that you have helped advise families to offset some of the college costs? And getting into the real world here, what are some of those ways that you've given advice and they've followed through and it's worked?
Yeah, I mean, I think just kind of just telling them here's all of the options. You can look into the college to find out, do they have a music department? Is there a music scholarship if you're musical? Things that are outside athletics. Typically, at an NAIA school, I've found that the cost is $30,000 plus. They're going to give a $5,000 maximum athletic scholarship. Well, then what are the other scholarships that are available, Mr. Financial Advisor? Do you have a music program? I'm interested in music. Do you have I have a high GPA. Do you have those kind of scholarships available? And just start asking questions, knowing a little bit about your background, what you might be interested in, and just start exploring, what the option and kind of knowing, like what you said, John, that there are many scholarships that go unclaimed. Well, you need to try to find out what those are. There's even scholarships where you need to write a paper to show, an English major kind of scholarship. So you just have to start asking those questions. Just ask a lot of questions, I think.
Well, I think you've rattled some cages here. That's what we wanted to do in this episode. Take the focus off the athletics, because that's only one piece of it, and on the reality of the financial, because we don't want to be strapped with the $43,000 in debt at the end of the college career. So thank you. Thank you for opening this door. You've done this for a lot of families that you've worked with. Any final words, a piece of advice as we part?
I think, the one piece of advice that I would suggest is explore all options, not only athletic options, but non-athletic options. Like probably the cheapest option is your local junior college, where you're just living at home and, you're not playing sports and you're going to school. That's the cheapest option. I think the second one, at the same time, look at that option and then look at the higher priced option. And if I do play, baseball at an AIA school or football, what would the cost be? So I can either go to my junior college and pay $3,000 to live at home, or I can go to my NAIA school that's, 4 hours away, and I'll be $10,000 in debt, but I get to play football. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, look at the costs and have several different options, not just I only want to play at this college and I'll do whatever I can to make it happen.
Hmm. Well, Jim, thank you. You bring a wealth of experience, real world experience, working with families, working with your kids. And I know you have a heart for athletes and seeing them end up at the best place, the best fit, without being strapped with debt as well as they pursue that scholarship. Well, Jim, thanks so much. We've interrupted our one question theme, but finances, that's a big question mark in people's minds. I'm glad we dug into it a little bit. You take care, and God bless you as you continue to help families.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, John.
Next week, we resume our one question series. Ask your question. Email me at john@recruitme.com with your one big question. Maybe you got a follow-up question from this week's episode, and you just email me, and we'll go ahead and answer your question on a future episode. All right, that's it for this week. We'll catch you next Tuesday.